Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, 12th of April, 2026, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, this great passage, verses 28 to 39. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8, 28 to 39. A very unique and special passage, and really the spotlight is on spiritually mature believers. The spotlight is on many of you who have been consistent and faithful to assemble for Bible teaching with humility and positive volition. You've grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You've attained spiritual maturity. You fulfilled the ultimate objective of virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The spotlight is on you in this passage. It starts out in Romans 8, 28 to 30, with the five steps to glory. And Romans 8, 28 says, in fact, we are spiritually mature believers. We know that to the ones who love God, and that's the key, the ones who love God, personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, and that's spiritually mature believers only. To those who love God, all things work together for the purpose of good. To the ones who are called, elected to privilege, according to the predetermined plan and purpose of God. Verse 29, we know that the ones whom he, God the Father, foreknew. Step one in the five steps to glory. Foreknowledge. He also predestined. Step two. To become conformed to the appearance of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the purpose that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren, the royal family of God. Verse 30, and whom he predestined, these same ones he also elected to privilege. Step 3, and whom he elected to privilege, these same ones he also justified, declared righteous. Step 4, and whom he justified, these same ones he also glorified. Step five in the five steps to glory. And that brought us to the new life and its challenges in Romans 8, 31 to 39. So in Romans 8, 31 to 39, we have five challenges. We've studied the first four challenges. The first challenge is opposition, verse 31. What then are we to conclude to these things? These things are the five steps to glory in verses 28 to 30. If God is for us, first class condition, and He is, who is against us? The second challenge is the a fortiori blessing challenge, verse 32. The God, God the Father, who did not even spare His own Son, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but on behalf of all of us, He delivered Him over to judgment. A fortiori, with much stronger reason, He will also with Him graciously give to us the all things. And then the third challenge, judging and maligning, verses 33 and 34. Who will bring a charge against, that is, who will accuse the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Yes, rather, the one who was raised, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God the Father, the ascension and session of Christ, who also intercedes for us as our defense attorney. And that brought us to the fourth challenge, which is suffering, verses 35 through 37. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the virtue love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, mental pressure, or persecution, religious persecution, or famine, being deprived of food, or nakedness, being deprived of clothing, or peril, dangers from things like tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes, or sword, war, and military suffering. Verse 36, as it stands written, quotation from Psalm 44:22, for your sake, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are being put to death all the day long. We were considered as sheep for slaughter. And this is true of a few winner believers who are qualified for martyrdom. And one of those certainly was the Apostle Paul. He was put to death by Nero. And then, verse 37, on the contrary, in all these things, the suffering from Romans 8, 35 and 36, we are winning a most glorious victory through Him, God the Father, who loves us, all believers, without exception, with infinite virtue love. Now that brings us to the fifth challenge, confidence and security, verses 38 and 39. And this last challenge, the spiritually mature believer, the one who loves God, has absolute confidence and security that all things work together for the purpose of good. Romans 8, 28. The winner believer knows God. The winner believer knows the grace of God and the power of God and the virtue love of God. And therefore, he has total security with regard to his salvation. He knows that he has eternal security. The winner believer has absolute confidence and security with regard to what happens in the most adverse circumstances of life. He has total confidence and security with regard to the future, the present, and the past. The life of the spiritually mature believer is encapsulated by confidence and security. The winner believer has absolute confidence in God and in the Word of God. The winner believer has a total confidence and security because of who and what God is. His essence, His plan, His grace, His power, His virtue, love. Romans 8:38 at the beginning says, "So certainly I, the spiritually mature believer, I stand convinced that," and now in the rest of Romans 8:38 and 39, we have 10 challenges. 10 challenges composed of 6 different categories. Category number 1, human events and history. Category number 2, angelic opposition. Category number 3, time. Category number 4, human organizations. Category number 5, space. Category number 6, human beings. We have studied category number 1, human events or history, and we've studied category number 2, angelic opposition. Category number 1, human events or history, is in the words thanatos zoe, death or life. And thanatos is used for physical death. The spiritually mature believer has absolutely no fear of physical death. For the winner believer, physical death is the dessert of life. It's the chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. Come on in. Romans 8. We're in Romans 8, 38 and 39. For the winner believer, physical death is the dessert of life. It's the chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry on top. You are so excited as a winner believer to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know God has the perfect way for you to transfer from time to eternity. The spiritually mature believer loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And therefore, he is looking forward and anticipating that great day of physical death and being absent from the body and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. God brought you into the world, and God has the perfect plan for you in physical death and to bring you home to be with Him. The winner believer has total and complete confidence in the physical death that God has planned for him. That's death. Death and life. Zoe is the word for physical life. And here it refers to everything that is a part of physical life. There is nothing in physical life that can destroy the sense of total confidence in the living and true God for the winner believer. The spiritually mature believer knows the plan of God. He knows the grace of God. He totally understands Operation Grace, the cross, and therefore he knows that his sins and his failures have all been paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The spiritually mature believer knows the essence of God, his infinite and matchless grace, and therefore he knows that the plan of God is greater than his suffering, greater than his adversities, greater than his weaknesses, greater than his triumphs, greater than his greatness. The winner believer has total confidence in God, whether he is maligned or whether he is praised. The grace and power of God is far greater than the manner of dying or living. That's category number one. Category number two is angelic opposition. And this is in the words angels or principalities. Angelos, angels, literally it means a messenger, but here it's used for angels. And specifically, in our verse, it's used for opposition angels, fallen angels, demons. So, and then we have the word arche, and arche is a ruling demon or a demon in authority. And so in our verse, it refers to demon generals or fallen angels of highest authority and rank, ruling angels, including Satan himself. And we ended with this. Well, we had Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, so it has been about 3 weeks ago. So let's start with Ephesians chapter 6. Turn, please, to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. And the armor of God goes on in here. It goes on in your soul. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, there's arche, our word, ruling demons, and the authorities, demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, world ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's why you need the armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, with the, now the, here's the armor of God. First of all, the belt of truth. And that word truth is our friend Aletheia. A-L, long E-T-H-E-I-A, Aletheia. That's the Greek word for absolute truth. The absolute truth of the Word of God. So the first thing in the armor of God, you have to get the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. That means finding a sound Bible teaching church and consistently and faithfully assembling in that church with humility and positive volition and grow up in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to, first of all, the first part of this armor of God is aletheia, the belt of the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart. And when you have that absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, then you have the second part of the armor of God. First of all, the belt of absolute truth buckled around your waist. And then the result of that is the breastplate of grace righteousness, spiritual maturity. Now you've attained spiritual maturity. The breastplate of grace righteousness or spiritual maturity in place. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And peace here is reconciliation. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, the faith-rest life, with which you can extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the word there is Rhema, the communicated Word of God. We're in an angelic conflict. We're in a war. And for you to be victorious in this war requires you to have the armor of God in your heart. Okay, now that brings us to category number three. Category number three, time, which says, nor things present, nor things to come. We have the negative adverb ute repeated, ute, neither nor, and then the perfect active participle of the verb anistemi plus the present active participle of the verb mello. So once again, ute, you translate that neither nor. And first of all, we have the verb anistemi. Anistemi. Looks like this in the Greek. E-N-I-S-T. Long E-M-I. Anistemi. Now, a couple of things about this verb. First of all, anistemi is a compound verb made up of the preposition and. There's the preposition and that means in. And then the verb histemi, and that means to stand. So it's a compound verb made up of an, in, and histemi, to stand. So anistemi means literally to stand in. And in the scriptures, it is only used as an intransitive verb. So point two, anistemi means to be present, to impend, to be imminent, to be present, to impend, to be imminent. Three, the participle, very important here, is substantival. That means that this verb functions as a noun. And since it functions as a noun, it's translated the present or present things. The present or present things. Four, the spiritually mature believer has total confidence in God and His plan, no matter what is going on in the world or contemporary history. That's what this is saying. The spiritually mature believer has total confidence in God and His plan, no matter what is going on in the world or contemporary history. That's the substantival participle of anistemi. Then we have the verb mello. Looks like that in the Greek. M-E-L-L long O. Mello. And one, mello literally refers to an event that will occur in the future. It refers to an event that will occur in the future. And once again, point two, the participle is substantival, and that's very important. It functions as a noun, and it may be correctly translated the future or future thing. The future or future things. Three, this couplet summarizes the total realm of suffering, both current suffering and future suffering. This couplet summarizes the total realm of suffering, both current suffering and future suffering. Four, the spiritually mature believer, the winner believer, has total confidence in God, total confidence in the plan of God, total confidence in the grace and power of God. No matter what is going on in the world today or is impending to take place in the future. That's what we have here. The winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, has total confidence in God and in the plan of God and the grace and power of God. No matter what is going on in the world today or is impending to take place in the future. That's category number three. Category number four, human organizations. And this is the negative adverb ute plus the plural of the noun dunamis. And ute is correctly translated neither. And then we have dunamis. Looks like that in the Greek, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. One, dunamis is the Greek noun from which we get our English word dynamite, dynamite. Two, dunamis means power, might, strength, force. Power, might, strength, force. Dunamis is not in a couplet like the categories 1, 2, and 3. Therefore, point 3, dunamis puts the spotlight on powerful human organizations of evil. Puts the spotlight on powerful human organizations of evil. And there's a lot of those in the world today. A lot of those in America today. Point 4. Dunamis includes the evil of bureaucracies. It includes the evil of bureaucracies. Secondly, it includes the evil of socialism. The evil of socialism. Third, it includes the evil of communism. Four, it includes the evil of liberal organizations. The evil of liberal organizations. Five, it includes the evil of liberalism in government. All of this is dunamis. So, Romans 8:38 now sounds like this. So certainly I, the spiritually mature believer, stand convinced that neither death nor life, category number one, neither angels, demons, nor the rulers of angels, Satan and demon generals, category number two, neither present things nor future things, category number three, neither powers, category number four. And now that brings us to Romans 8:39, where we have categories 5 and 6. Category number 5, space, nor height nor depth. This is the negative adverb ute repeated once again, ute, ute, neither nor, plus the noun hupsoma, plus the noun bathos. So we have neither nor, and then the first word is hupsoma. looks like that in the Greek. H, there's the letter H. It's a mouth breathing over the word. H-U-P-S, long O-M-A. Hupsoma. And hupsoma, one, literally means height or exaltation. It means height or exaltation. Two, hupsoma is an astronomical technical term. An astronomical technical term, hupsoma. Three, hupsoma is anything residing in stellar space. Anything residing in stellar space, hupsoma. Four, hupsoma are the heavens, the atmospheric heavens, the stellar heavens. So hupsoma is often translated heaven. It's the atmospheric heavens, the stellar heavens. And then we have with hupsoma, bathos. Looks like that in the Greek. B-A-T-H-O-S, bathos. Now, one, literally, bathos means depth. Literally, it means depth. Extreme depth, such as the underworld or hell. So, it literally means depth. This is extreme depth, the underworld, hell. Two. Figuratively, bathos refers to extreme poverty. It also refers to extreme poverty. So, point three, the spiritually mature believer has absolute confidence that he is not going to be cast into the lake of fire. He totally knows he has eternal security. The spiritually mature believer has absolute confidence that he's not going to be cast into the lake of fire. He totally understands he has eternal security. Four, the spiritually mature believer has total confidence in God and His plan, the grace and power of God, whether he has great monetary wealth or whether he is in the depth of extreme poverty. Either way, the spiritually mature believer has total confidence in God and His plan, the grace and power of God in his life, whether he has great monetary wealth or whether he is in the depth of extreme poverty. It makes no difference at all. He has total confidence in God, his plan, his grace, his power. That's category number five. And then we have category number six. Human beings on earth. The King James says, nor any other creation. This is the negative adverb, ute, plus the indefinite pronoun, tis, plus the noun, katesis, modified by the adjective, heteros. Now, ute, again, means nor. The indefinite pronoun, tis, looks like this, looks like that in the Greek and in the English. Tis means any, nor any, and then we have heteros. Looks like that in the Greek, that's H-E-T, H-E-R-O-S. Heteros. And heteros means another of a different kind. Another of a different kind, and it modifies the noun katesis. Looks like that in the Greek. K-T-I-S-I-S. Katesis. So, let's take a look at katesis. One, literally, katesis is the word creation. Literally, it means creation. Two, katesis means that which is created or created things. That which is created or created things. Three, heteros katesis. Heteros katesis, this is creatures different from yourself. This is other people who are not in the royal family of God, i.e. unbelievers. So heteros katesis refers here to unbelievers. Four, this includes the Roman emperor like Nero in the time of the Apostle Paul. And Nero executed the Apostle Paul, decapitated him. The Apostle Paul went through the highest category of blessing you can have. He wore the mantle of martyrdom for his. And what was his crime? He was a Christian. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. He communicated the grace and truth of the Word of God. And he was arrested, placed in prison, and decapitated. So this includes in Paul's day, Roman emperors like Nero. Five, it includes all of those evil people with power and influence over others. It includes all of those evil people with power and influence over others. So, verse 38 again. So certainly I, spiritually mature believer, stand convinced that neither death nor life, category number one, neither angels, demons, nor rulers of angels, Satan and demon generals, category number two, neither present things nor future things, category number three, neither powers, category number four, verse 39, neither heaven nor hell, category number five, nor any other created thing, category number six, shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And this is the future middle indicative of the verb dunamai, plus the aorist active infinitive of korizo, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the preposition apa, plus the genitive singular of agape with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos, with the definite article. Now we had dunamis a while back. Now we have the verb dunamai. Dunamai. D-U-N-A-M-A-I. Dunamai. Now it's from this verb. It's from this verb, dunamai, that we get dunamis. And dunamis, which we already studied, means power, might, strength, force. So dunamai means I can do something or I am able to do something. That's dunamai. I can do something or I am able to do something. In our verse, it is a power greater than you that you are facing. In our verse, it is a power greater than you that you are facing. The future tense of dunamai is a gnomic future. The gnomic future expresses a tendency or a likelihood that something will happen. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as a dogmatic fact, certainty, and reality. And then we have the verb korizo. Looks like that in the Greek, C-H, long O, R-I-Z, long O, korizo. And korizo means to divide or to separate. To divide or to separate shall be able to separate us. Accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, believers. And in our verse, the spotlight is on the spiritually mature believer. And then we have apa tes agapes tou theou, from the love of God. Virtue, love of God for us. So the corrected translation. Neither heaven nor hell, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, the virtue love of God the Father for us. And then where is that love? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we're going to take a break, let you go out and have some goodies, come back, and this is so fantastic. This is God, this is our God, this is His phenomenal grace and His infinite virtue love for each one of us. All right? Take a break, come back in about 15 minutes for part 2.